I know you're a big wrestling guy, and I do a big Royal Rumble party every single year. Do you do something like that? You do a pool with the Rumble, or you watch it in private? What's your process there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a huge wrestling guy. I do enjoy it. I have a lot of fun going to the event.
Okay.
But I was actually there yesterday.
You went?
I attended Royal Rumble. It was here in Arizona, so it's where I live. So it's an easy decision to head out over and check it out. But I got to watch it live, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be. I think that's probably I'm not a huge fan myself. I do it mostly for the gambling aspect. Have you ever done one of those pools where you get a few buddies together and you just randomly choose some of the numbers and do a pick, and if it ends up being your pick, you win the pool?
Right. We did that yesterday, actually. Me and my brother-in-law that went over, and one of their buddies. So it was four of us. We ended up doing a pool for both Royal Rumbles, the women's and the men's. And yeah, my brother-in-law took both of them. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that same thing happened in mine, where the same guy was in both. He had the final four wrestlers in both events. It was like, right, this is really fun for everyone that's watching this with you. But yeah, no, some guys just said, yeah.
That, well, yesterday wasn't really the final people that won. It was someone in the middle.
Yeah. Well, that was the worst part, was when the one girl, the man, came out.
This is confusing to me. So, JD was explaining this to me.
When the one girl started limping out to the ring, you knew she was going to get replaced,
right,
or something shady was going to happen. Either she was never going to make it. Either she wasn't going to make it to the ring, and then everyone was going to fall out of it, and she was going to win, or someone great was going to come and replace her and win it. And as soon as that happened, everybody just starts yelling shenanigans, and is upset because the guy with the ticket knows he's absolutely winning in that spot. Yeah, Ben's very confused.
Exactly, yeah.
But I thought it was a good Rumble. I thought it was, other than me winning no money and losing a bunch of money, I thought I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, that was great. Both Rumbles were awesome. The male part was interesting, you know, having a female entrance.
Yeah, I thought she was going to win.
That was different. Yeah. Once she came out, I was like, oh, man, like, what's going to happen here now?
Yeah.
But, no, they ended up throwing her out, and it was crazy. It was kind of weird to see, but, it was fun.
So I've never seen a Royal Rumble, and I'm not a big wrestling guy, so I couldn't really participate there.
You should have. I invited you to my party.
Yeah, that was more of a non-vite. But anyways, baseball. Marco, so can you tell us about this offseason for you? How many teams did you talk to and the process of ending up in Oakland? Did you talk to the Blue Jays at all?
I've been asked that numerous times, and I'm not going to get into that, you know. I signed with the A's, saw a good opportunity. My family was happy with the move. You know, we obviously love Toronto, and we're kind of hoping that we would have ended up there, but things didn't work out. You know, this game is a business, and unfortunately, we weren't able to go back. But, we're in Oakland now, and we're excited about the new opportunities and the new people we're going to get to meet. So, yeah, we're pretty pumped about this team.
Well, and no question, you're going to get a huge ovation when the A's come to Toronto this season. So if you can look back and maybe just put one moment on a pedestal, what was the moment for you in your Blue Jays career that stands out amongst the rest of them?
Every game, like, I had so much fun there, and not only the games, but just living in Toronto, meeting new people. It was a blast, and I'm grateful for everything, but I guess if I had to narrow it down to one, I wouldn't really say the game, like my outing per se, but the ovation that I got when I walked off the mound in game five against the Royals, that's something that definitely sticks out in my mind, and it's something that I'll never forget. I don't know if I'll ever get an ovation like that again. It was insane. It's the loudest I've ever heard that place, other than maybe Batista's home run. But yeah, it was a lot of fun walking off the mound. I was just trying to take it all in.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned it with Bautista's home run, because I think that after the bat flip, that outing, when you think back about the playoff runs in 15-16, I think that's maybe number two. Like, I think the only thing you could maybe compare with would be what Edwin in 16, the walk off in the wild card game.
Yeah,
like that.
There was the Tulo home run in Texas.
But that when you came off the mound, I remember basically every Blue Jays fan kind of having the exact same thought, which was, oh my God, this clutch guy saved us. Guy was not the word I wanted to use there, but yeah, it was a lot of elation. And that's what's so unique about your story as a Blue Jay is that despite all of the good pitchers that you pitched with in that group and even acquiring someone like David Price the one year, everyone felt so much confidence with you on the mound. And there was this true belief of clutch and that if everyone could embody what clutch was, you would show Marco Estrada and say, this is the proof. Like, I remember having debates with friends and I know that about who would you rather have pitch in that 15 year was David Price or Marco Estrada. And almost everybody wanted you because of the clutch gene. And I wonder what it was for you going out there in those playoff games and what you think that means, the word clutch.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you. That's really kind of you to say. For me, I think I was able to do stuff like that because I didn't change my mentality at all. You know, I kind of acted. I think I was more calm for these playoff games than I was during the regular season game. I kind of just reminded myself that, listen, you've been doing this all year. You don't need to change anything. You know, you've been throwing the ball, you've been pitching really well, making a lot of good pitches. There's no need to change anything. Nothing's changed other than it's going to be a little louder today. A little more people are watching, but none of that stuff, you know, it's going to matter. It's you and the same hitters that you faced already. I didn't need to change anything. And then I think me being so calm those games helped me do what I did, I guess.
It wasn't a linear progression, though, for you, Marco, right? Because Blue Jays acquire you in the offseason for Adam Lind from Milwaukee and coming off a year.
It was controversial.
Yeah, you gave up a few bombs in the National League. And I, if I recall correctly, spring training didn't go all that well, and you were a middle relief guy to start the season. First start, you give up 4 earned runs over 4 2/3. You don't even go through 5. But, yeah, just a couple starts after that, you've got the near no-hitter with Josh Donaldson going over the tarp. I mean, just talk about that first season as a member of the Blue Jays and what you expected and how the reality matched or obviously exceeded the expectation.
Yeah, when I first was traded, I wasn't sure what my role was going to be, but obviously I wanted to start, and I told, you know, Gibby and Pete that's my goal is to start for them. I also did tell Pete during that time in spring training that, listen, especially the first game, I'm going to go out and just try to throw fastballs. I'm not going to really use my off-speed stuff. I just want to work on this. And I ended up giving up, like, 7 runs in a third or something. So I kind of surmounted it. Between Pete and I, it was kind of funny, like, because I was like, yeah, I kind of told you this was going to happen. And I said, yeah, I just said, I don't know if anybody else knew. And that, you know, I'm sure Gibby wasn't too happy about that. And I wasn't sure if I was going to break the team or anything. But after that, spring training actually went pretty well. And then obviously, as a reliever, I started off as a reliever. We had 5 guys that had pitched really well during spring training, and they all deserved the opportunity. So I got thrown in the bullpen. Which I was fine with, you know, I was actually kind of happy there. I was doing pretty well for the team, but I think they noticed that, you know, that something good's happening here. Let's give them a shot at starting. Yeah, the first game wasn't all that great, but, you know, we kind of turned things around. They gave me a few more opportunities, and I obviously showed that I could do it. And so I'm very thankful that Jimmy and Petey stuck with me because, you know, maybe 15 or 16 doesn't happen. So I'm glad I got the opportunity. It was a lot of fun that year.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because, I was saying when you were acquired, I do remember everyone thought Adam Lind was super underappreciated in this market.
A silver slugger.
Yeah, and everyone always thought, why are you trying to just give away Adam Lind for nothing? And you came in, and, yeah, that was the whole conversation. It was like, you're training for a middle reliever. And when you were acquired, did you talk to Alex, like, about starting? Did he view you as a starting pitcher, or is that a John Gibbons thing? Like, is that him and Pete Walker, as you were kind of saying, them giving you the chance and them kind of pushing? And obviously you create your own luck and you create your own opportunity by pitching well, but who did you think kind of was the biggest a focal point in terms of giving you that shot, that extended look at starting?
Oh, it was Petey, 100%. I know Petey was behind me 100%. I mean, they all were, but Petey kept telling me, I want you to start. And I kept replying, I want to start. So he was definitely pushing for me. Alex and I had a few conversations about that, and he talked about doing both. And I told him, listen, I don't care. I'm with a new team. I want to do whatever you guys want me to do. If you need me to relieve, middle relief, whatever it is, I'm there. I'm going to do it, and I'll be happy about it. But obviously, I also mentioned if I could get the opportunity to start, I would love to. But again, whatever helps the team out, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's kind of what happened. I started off as a reliever, and things were going well. And I think maybe some of the starters were struggling, so they decided to give me the opportunity, and I just kind of ran with it, I guess.
Well, did anything change for you that year? Because everyone knew that you had a good changeup, and that was the MO. Again, with the fan speak and the media guys were all on the same page with, well, he's going to come here with a plus changeup. And then you see you start and you cruise in the seasons, the first few seasons as a Blue Jay. And I wonder, was it an adjustment that you made or was it something mental? Like what happened here?
Yeah, it was mental. Burley was there and I right away approached him and I wanted to pick his brain. But plain and simple, he just kind of told me, listen, your scouting reports, like, the great scouting reports, but no one fails the way you do. If someone's really good on a changeup, are they really good on your changeup? It's a big difference. So he's like, the thing that I do, barely speaking, is that I don't worry about anything. I look at the pitch and whatever pitch he's calling, the catcher, I put all my confidence behind that pitch, and I'm going to make it. Because if I can locate this pitch, my chances of getting out are pretty high. So I was like, man, simplify the game, basically. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to try this out. So I went away from scouting reports. Mentally, it was a huge, weight off my shoulders, I guess. That stress of trying to remember every hitter and focus on every count and pitches and whatnot. I just let it all go and just kind of stuck with, let's just make the pitch. No matter what the pitch is, just make it. And that's basically the only thing I changed.
Yeah. It seemed to work out. It worked out well for Mark Burley as well.
That kind of makes that changes the Marlins trade a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. So we look back at 15 and I, like, for the life of me, I don't know how you guys didn't win the World Series. That team was so good. It was stacked top to bottom, and it infuriated me to no end to hear people talk about, well, the Royals just played winning baseball because they didn't strike out. They didn't hit home runs either, and you couldn't build an offense around home runs. But, yeah, you guys were damn close, and you pushed the Royals to a game six, and, an umpire's decision goes another way.
I know how they lost. That Amish kid grabbed the baseball.
Maybe we're having a little bit of a different conversation. How much regret do you have about that season that it could have gone another way?
It still hurts. I've said this numerous times. I go back and look at the team we have, and I think to myself, how did we not win? We were stacked, and it's true. Kansas City played a heck of a game. They played a heck of a series, and then just went on to dominate the World Series. So in baseball, it's just getting hot at the right time, and they were definitely hot. We were hot at the end of the season, kind of started to cool off a little in the playoffs, which sucks. And I think it was just timing. But I do believe that, that team was, like I said, it was completely stacked. And I had a dream that, I had a ring on my, I woke up one day and I had a ring on my finger and I saw everything. And I thought we were going to do it. And then game five came, I pitched that game and we won. And I said, oh, my God, it's going to happen. We're going to turn this around, just win the whole thing. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But, I'm with you. I feel like we should have, not easily, but we should have definitely won that series. And, but it is, that's the way baseball works,
Yeah, it's a cruel one because, yeah, you do look back and there's no question that was the most talented team in baseball that
year. That was outside to Ben Revere. Yeah. Okay, we all know it.
That was, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. All right. That, I can't imagine how much this hurts you because it hurts me. Like when Ben just said that, I was like, right. Shut up, Ben. Don't bring that up. Are you surprised at how fast it all fell apart, though? Because like it was a group with a lot of guys, a lot of older guys, a lot of veteran players, but it just seemed to go by so quickly.
What do you mean?
Well, just that there was this core of players, and it's the most talented team in baseball, and then just a couple of seasons later, like now we're looking at it where, do you remember that Sports Illustrated cover, the new Jack City, and nobody's left on that team. Like now Russell Martin's gone, and Gibby's gone, and you just kind of thought that it was laying the ground, it was laying the foundation for successful Blue Jays teams to come. And do you think there was one point where things started to change with that, or it was just that some of the players were older? Because like a lot of fans point to management change, some of them point to some certain players' declines, but is there something that you feel like you, when you noticed there was a change in that group?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly injuries, just like with any other team. You know, in 16 we still made the playoffs, had a decent little run, and then 17 came, and we just didn't live up to what we did in years past. And it's just injuries. You know, and yeah, guys getting older. And, you know, I didn't perform the way I did in 15 and 16. But I'm going to just say it was, you know, it had to do a lot with injuries. Not having our key players there the entire season obviously hurt us. So then 17, you know, we lost a few guys and, I'm sorry, 18. We lost a few guys and had even more injuries. Basically, there's no starters. We, you know, all of us got hurt at one point, and you know, I think you need a really good starting five to get anywhere. So, I think that's where things started to definitely decline, and it's unfortunate. And obviously, Boston, you know, had an extremely talented team, and that's why they won it all, and you know, they stayed healthy. And I think that's what kind of hurt us. We had too many injuries to too many key players. And then once everybody realized that, you know, we had too many injuries going on, we traded away a bunch of guys. And it's hard to win after that when you trade away key players like we did. So I guess that's where it is. And now they feel like they need a rebuild over there. And it's good, I guess. But, you know, I hope it works out for them. But, you know, I like I said, I love the city. I love the team. And there's still a lot of guys there that I am friends with and I care about. So I wish them nothing but the best.
Well, have you looked at the schedule? Because I have it right in front of me.
No, I don't really – I don't like to do that. I don't know why. But my wife did tell me we are going to Toronto, I think, in April.
Yeah.
Late April or something like that.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. You don't see this. Yeah, in Oakland, the Blue Jays are 19-21 of April, and then here in Toronto, 26-28. So whether you start one of those games or whatever, obviously you're going to get a rousing ovation, and rightly so.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the city and how you feel about it, the feeling is absolutely mutual here.
Yeah,
and we know that you put in a lot of stuff, and it's not just the city too. Like I know that you were part of the Blue Jays winter trips. Like I remember you going out to, I think it was Manitoba one year, and that's in the wintertime. So yeah,
we did a few of those. Yeah.
That's what I mean, though. You showed real commitment to Canada. If you're willing to get on a plane and go to Manitoba in the wintertime, Canada is like, all right, cool. Yeah. You're buying it.
Oh, that Regina trip! Yeah.
That was it. Regina.
Been anywhere so cold? Yeah. It is ridiculous.
It's not much different.
You know, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Oakland now. Today. You can enjoy that weather.
Well, and Arizona.
And Arizona, yeah. you're good for now.
Marco, appreciate the time. Best of luck and enjoy all that foul territory in Oakland.
Trust me, I will. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Good luck.